Here it is, Mark 7:11. But when you say a man shall say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban that I might say a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And you read that. It doesn't make any sense.
Where are you again?
Mark 7:11. Well, the way it's translated there doesn't make any sense. But what it is it's talking about is the Pharisees were in the Old Testament, that one of the commandments was honor your father and mother in the Lord. And part of that is you show them respect. But part of it also is they were supposed to take care of their father and mother. And so the money that they were supposed to use to take care of their father and mother, the Pharisees said, well, if you give it to our church, then you don't have to take care of your father and mother. And so Jesus Christ was saying, you guys are off the word for doing that. And so, but anyway, that was one of the things I was looking at this morning, but I'm not going to go there.
You already did.
Yeah, I already did, but that's just a short version of it. But anyway, that gets back to the thing I was talking about, how when Diane and I give, we like to actually give money to people, and we're not so big on giving it to groups, because corporations, a lot of times, are more worried about the corporation and less worried about the people. So let's go to Galatians. Because that's one of the things they used to teach in the way, is that, you owe God your tithe first, then if you're going to help other people, you can do that with that other money.
And you have to lay it at the apostles' feet.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, and it's literally your first responsibility is taking care of your family, and then you need to, you do need to give, but they just twisted it, because corporations a lot of times are worried about what's best for the corporation. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. It's talking about the Old Testament law. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, if you're circumcised, Christ is no profit to you. It profits you nothing. And I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever are justified by the law. You're fallen from grace. And I always keep trying to hammer home this one point, that the whole purpose of Jesus Christ's life was to give us direct access to the Father. And that's like the biggest thing, because Christ, it's in the Bible, it says Christ is the way. Another thing, way could be translated as path. He's the path that led us to the Father. And the goal is the direct relationship with God. Through the Spirit.
We, verse 5, are you in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We through the Spirit.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. For we through the Spirit. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well, but who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Could it be Satan? And it's interesting, quite often that record in the Gospels, who was harassing Jesus Christ and his apostles? It was the religious leaders. Quite often it's religious leaders that hinder people from walking the truth. I'm in verse
8 now?
Yeah, 8. This persuasion cometh not from him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So they were supposed to make bread in a certain way and weren't supposed to do. And if you do, you're a little bit off, then you're off, is what it's saying there. You can't do just a little bit of the law and still be walking in grace. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none the otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear judgment, whosoever he be. Because, you know, Paul, every time he goes somewhere, his manner was, he'd go somewhere in Greece or Macedonia or whatever, and he'd go to the synagogue first, and he'd preach the word unto them, and then when they rejected it, then he'd go to the Gentiles, and quite often they received it, and he'd teach the word to them. The Jews would send people around that follow him, and they'd say, well, it's great, you're born again, you're speaking in tongues and all this stuff, but, you know, unless you do some of this Old Testament law stuff, you're not really saved. And Paul's basically saying they're lying to you. Verse 11, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross ceased. Is the offense of the cross ceased? I would that they were even cut off, which trouble you. You know, if you take that in one context, that's he gets the joke. But anyway, for brethren, ye have been called unto legalism. No, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but to love one and serve one another. For the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed by one another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. See, that's the whole goal of Jesus Christ's relationship, is he gives us a direct access to God. When you have direct access to God, then God can lead you. You know, you get up in the morning and say, okay, God, what am I going to do today? You know, do I want to go have bagels and cream cheese, or do I want to go hike in the mountains, or, you know, you just basically talk it over with God. What do we want to do? And you got direct access, and God can lead you. And you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, that's all kind of sexual stuff. And then the next one, idolatry. Well, wait a minute, that's religious. Witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, strife, seditions, heresies, those are religious too. See, a lot of times religious people that are look real religious, it's works of the flesh.
You left out your namesake.
Oh, wrath. Sorry. Spelled different. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, the which I tell you before, and I have told you also in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Doesn't say they won't be saved. Says you won't have it. You don't get rewards for doing those kinds of things. We have eternal life, and we can't do anything to lose that eternal life. But what we do, we don't get rewards for doing nasty things. So if we go out and act, you know, dog eat dog, and if I go over to my neighbor and I go in his garage and I say, yeah, that's a nice bicycle, I'm going to steal it. I'm going to ride it, and I'm going to keep it for my own. I don't get rewards for doing that. Or if I join a drug gang and I go spray painting the name of my gang on the sides of buildings, you know, I don't get rewards for doing things like that. You know, we get rewards for walking with God. And so that's what it's talking about, not inheriting the kingdom of God. But in contrast to that, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You know, we were taught in the old ministry that you get the fruit of the Spirit by operating manifestations of the Spirit. Well, I don't see that said anywhere in here. Basically, what's saying, it's, remember back in verse 16, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And this is really the fruit of being led. If you walk with God and you're led by God, this is what you see in your life. And if you reject God and you walk by the flesh, those other things are what you see in your life. And that's really what it's talking about. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another to envying one another. That's pretty much what I wanted to share today. And I'll make it available for other people to chime in. Or something you've been studying in the Word lately.
One of the things that we saw in fellowship is Hezekiah is a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
He is surrounded by a bunch of clowns. It's like one generation to the next generation, somehow it gets lost. We're not really sure why that happens or whatever. But then when you like at Malachi, 400 years, there's no written word. I don't even know how that's possible. Were they that person screwed up?
They were.
Actually, going back to what Jeff was teaching, the first part about leadership, you know, I've been reading through the Old Testament too, and it is brutal and violent.
Oh, yeah.
And it is, there's just like, is there, you know, after reading it, you think, is there anybody good? Anybody? Or any leadership at all? And
that's why they're not mentioned, because they are not even.
Well, Romans says, is there anybody that seeks after God?
Really? I mean, and so.
Even the good kings were screwed up.
Yeah.
Right. And so, poor God, you know. So that's another reason why, you know, when you get caught up sometimes in groupthink, group situations, you have to be really careful that each individual is walking, you know, that they, each individual has to make a decision to walk with God on their own. And then if you come together, then you have a great, powerful group. But if you do it the other way around, where you go to a group to find out, you know, get your spirituality or whatever, quite often that can be really deceiving, deceptive. I mean, almost all of Christianity today believes either in the Trinity or worshiping Jesus Christ, the majority of Christianity today.
Jesus Christ is God.
And no wonder the whole world is going to hell, you know, and when even God's people, in the Old Testament, the records of Israel, these were God's people. These weren't even the Gentiles or whatever they were called back then. And these were God's people that were so messed up. You know, they were following after other gods. And it's just sometimes it's very discouraging to see. However, the nice thing that God did for all of us is he placed within us Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, I don't think we sometimes realize the magnificence of what he really did by giving us direct access to God in full measure of what was available spiritually. Because they didn't have that in the Old Testament, and we do today. And I still think we have to be careful. Even though we walk in love towards everyone, we don't want to be hateful. We have to really stand for, and the greatest thing is that there's one God, you know. And we were talking about this relationship with Jesus thing. Well, what is the one, like you said, Jesus Christ came so that we can have direct access to God. And if you really want to honor Jesus Christ, then you're going to have a relationship with God, not with Jesus Christ. Because our relationship with Jesus Christ can't be developed or built. It's finished. It's a done deal. But the relationship with God is ongoing. And so that's my two cents.
Can you imagine the angels of Jesus Christ when the Gentiles manifested? That probably blew their freaking minds. Say, what is this? Part of the same family.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, it's, you don't ever see somebody wanting a relationship with Gabriel or Michael. I mean, they're archangels, just right. Like Jesus Christ is now. But it's interesting, you mentioned something that made me think about Facebook group on biblical research, and I posted a thing there, and I basically asked a rhetorical question. I said, it was something like, where you go to learn the Bible, are you taught how to think, or are you taught what to think? Because a lot of places are more, people are indoctrinated and they're not taught how to think. And so people are saying, well, of course we have to learn doctrine. Well, yeah, we learn doctrine. But you see in the Bible where they were taught and they didn't just say, oh, you're right, Apostle Paul. They went and checked it out to see if those things were so.
They were more noble than those in Thessalonica.
Yeah, and they actually went and they checked it out in the Bible. And they looked it up and they said, okay, it is right. And I remember when I left the Way many years ago and I said, well, you know, what am I going to take with me? What am I going to leave behind? So I went and researched everything Dr. Werwell researched. And it's not something you just do in a couple of nights. And I got the book by the guy that led him into speaking in tongues. I got the books by Bullinger. I got the books by Kenyon. I got other things, and I started researching this stuff, and I said, okay, well, I think he was right on most of this stuff. But I didn't just want to be indoctrinated, I wanted to think for myself. And we, you know, if you're going to walk with God, you have to think for yourself. And there was a lot of people got real upset when I said that. And I said, well, why are you people getting upset about people thinking for themselves? This should be a no-brainer. Literally, I mean, this should be what everybody should want for all Christians. Everybody should think, but most religions don't want that. As this is our position on these big issues. If you come here, you have to agree with this. Well, then you're just indoctrinated. You're not allowed to think for yourself. We believe Adam was created with a navel. You know.
First years of the navel.
Yeah, I mean, it's like stupid things like that. What difference does it make? And you got to think, and sometimes, you know, I don't get everything right. I don't want people to just blindly follow me, and I don't want you to blindly follow somebody else. You know, and a lot of these TV preachers, you go on and you say, oh, so-and-so, Reverend Billy Gunn, you know, the First Church of the Private Interpretation. Watch his TV show, and as you look at it, in 15 seconds, he's already teaching something's off the word. Hey, well, actually, we did a musical skit like that years ago when I was in California. They had that song, doo 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 doo.
Peter Gunn,
and we did a skit, and it was the Reverend Billy Gunn, the King of Private Interpretation. And it came out, and he was talking about 40 years and 40 nights. Wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. Nights and years. And we had a whole skit we did. We had a lot of fun with that. And we used to do a lot of sarcasm and humor in our music. And a lot of people said, well, "You can't, that's not respectful." Well, you know, sometimes prophets in the Old Testament were sarcastic.
Oh my gosh. Sometimes prophets were really, you know, reading through the Old Testament, the prophets were really sarcastic.
And so was Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well, I like, actually, the guy in another thing I was reading last night in John 9, the guy that was born blind and Jesus healed him, and the guy didn't even know it was the freaking Messiah. He just thought it was a prophet. And Jesus came back later and said, you know who the Son of God is? He said, no. He said, it's me. But Before then, the Pharisees are all questioning him. Said, who was this guy? And who opened your eyes? And how did he do it? And he says, well, I've already told you twice. If I told you again, would you become his disciple? He's being sarcastic to him. His parents were all afraid to say anything. But this guy, he just got delivered. He was just giving him sarcasm. And, you know, and you gotta have a backbone. You gotta speak up. Because...
otherwise, the devil uses that against you.
Yeah.
Sometimes, in fact, it's happening in our country, too. Our enemy is using our kindness against us. And so we have to reach a point where we stand against it. Because there is a time for war. There's mm-hmm. a time for peace. There's a time for war. There's a time to sit back and take a slap on the face. And there's a time to fight back.
There's time to get bold and sometimes.
That's right. And so the devil uses our kindness and our love against us. Because we want to be loving and kind.
Well, just look what Trump did. He threatened to do, you know, put a 5% tariff on Mexico if they didn't stop. And then a month later, it would be 10%. And a month later,
yeah.
You know.
And you know what?
And everybody, a lot of Republicans were against it. People were against it. Lo and behold, guess what Mexico did? They arrested two of the guys that were starting these caravans, so that they sealed off part of their border down with
Guatemala. Yeah.
Guatemala. And, you know, it's like...
The only thing the devil and our enemy understands is strength.
Yeah.
And that's the truth of it. Because it tells us when we're being attacked by the devil, what does God say? Oh, just take it. Be loving, be kind, just take it.
No, he says, put on the armor.
He says, stand against it. When you stand against the wiles of the devil, he will flee. And so we're, you know, so there's quite the balance between, yes, there's a time, Jesus Christ was so loving and kind to individual people who were being abused by evil.
Mm-hmm.
But he was not very kind to evil, and so you have to be able to walk with God and know the difference.
So I got a story for you guys. This is actually a true story. A few years ago, I was working over in Denver Tech Center for that big corporation. A good friend of mine, Chris, was living in Roxboro, down by Roxboro Park there, and it's kind of on the Front Range. And it's kind of an expensive subdivision with a gated community and big homes right up against the mountains. Really beautiful place. And they would get mountain lions going up and down their streets sometimes because they're right up against the mountains. And there was a picture of like they had a mountain. He showed me a picture. His neighbor took a mountain lion, picture of a mountain lion with a deer kill, like just beyond his backyard. And so one morning he had a little poodle, all of 20 pounds. Aww. Little feisty little poodle, and he goes out his front door, lets the poodle go out and do his business. He's not on the leash, gonna let him, you know, do his business in the front yard, and then he let him back in. Well, about 20 feet out there in the street, there was a mountain lion. He opens the door, his poodle runs out, and this little poodle, he's got the boldness of a lion. He starts barking and yelping and runs at that mountain lion, and the guy's thinking, oh my God, I'm gonna need a new dog tomorrow. This dog's history. He's gonna be lion food. Well, the lion ran off. He scared off the lion. He is barking. You know, sometimes that's what we gotta be.
The bark was worse than the possible
bite. That little poodle wouldn't have much of a bite.
But the mountain lion was totally shocked by it. I said, no, this isn't worth my time.
But that's what we got to be, because we're by the five senses, we're that little poodle, and we ain't really got a lot of strength in and of ourselves. And, you know, and a lot of us are getting older, and our bodies are getting weaker, and we can't fight the battles. But we bark. What's that bark significant of? We're speaking God's word. So no, that mountain lion out there, that's like represents the devil. And it's like, hey, devil, you don't belong in my property. Get out of here. And because, you know, I guess part of the reason that mountain lion ran off was a big human. The human's bigger than that mountain lion. They're kind of intimidated by things that are taller than they are. So you got a little dog and a big guy. And he figures, well, if I take on this, I got to take on them both, is what the lion's thinking. I'm not prepared to do that. So I'm just going to mosey on down the road and I'll go take something else, you know, that's all by itself. And I don't, you know, but that's what we got to be. We got to be that little poodle, and we just got to be have the boldness to go bark at that lion, and we resist the devil, and he'll flee. You know, it says in the, what's it, in Peter or James somewhere, that he's a roaring lion and seeks who he can devour. And if we freeze with fear, you know, then he can come in and take it. But we don't freeze with fear. We just bark at him.
Or if we don't want to hurt someone's feelings, or if we don't want to. So I'm going to pray, and then we can have some food.
All right, yeah. We got brats and burgers. So, yeah, why don't you pray?
Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing the food that we're going to have, and for just that we can continue fellowship and